World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Here it is, man. What day? What show is this? 2,166, if my numbers are any good, or Spencer's numbers are any good. And I celebrate today because yesterday I barefoot walked 9 holes of golf for the first time since I got back from Texas with my big toe. I haven't been able to walk, crazy as that sounds. And so don't let that old man in. You guys know that song about Clint Eastwood. Pull that up for me real quick, Spencer, see if you can find that song. Don't Let the Old Man In by... That was done by Toby Keith, talking about Clint Eastwood. And man, I've been fighting that over the last couple since I got back from Texas. I haven't been able to walk. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I hobble around. And yesterday I went out and my son-in-law and our grandson, we took a cart, but I walked as much as I could. In fact, hang on here a second. You guys say, well, I don't care how much you walked yesterday, Coach. Let's get into the good stuff. Well, I'm just trying to make a point to you here. Yesterday, I have a little thing on my phone, a little measures how many steps I take. And yesterday, I took 10,703 steps. That is unbelievable because the day before, I only done 3,000. The day before that, 3,000. Amazing, huh? So I'm back in the saddle again. Play this real quick. Don't let the old man in. Talking to a lot of us today. Go take you someplace. Hang in there with us. Listen to old Toby Keith talking about the old man. Don't let him in, man. It's a state of mind. Don't let that old man in. Go ahead.
Don't let the old man in. I want to live it some more. Can't leave it up to him.
Don't leave it up to him. Don't let that old man in.
He's knocking on my door. And I knew all of my life that someday it would end.
Get up, go outside.
Get up and go outside.
Don't let that old man in.
Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived.
Many moons I have lived.
My body's withered and worn.
Ask yourself, how would you be? If you didn't know the day you were born.
If you didn't. Try to love on your wife.
I'd do that for sure.
And stay close to your friends.
I could be better at that.
Toast each sundown with wine.
Don't let that old man in. Many dreams I have lived. The older you get, the more generous you should become. You realize life ain't about money and stuff and things.
Many moons I have lived.
My body's withered and worn.
Ask yourself, how would you be? He rides up on his horse, and you feel that cold bitter wind.
Amen on that.
Look out your window and smile.
Don't let that old man in.
Don't let the old man in.
All right, that's good enough. Don't let that old man in, huh? Come on, man. It's a battle. Get up and go outside. Don't let that old man. And you know, there's a real tendency for all of us, real tendency to say, oh, hell with it. Ah, oh, hell with it. Ah, oh, hell with it. Tell us in Psalm 78, Spencer, see how quick you are here. This is off the top of my head. Psalm 78. You know what? I have my life's duty is more important now than ever. Wise man, I'm a wise man. It's going down, brother. I'm sorry. Huh? Give ear, O my people, to my law and incline your ears to the words of my mouth, because I'm going to open my mouth in a parable and I'm going to utter dark sayings of old, which we've known, our fathers have told us. We're not going to hide them from our children, showing to this generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength is wonderful. Has there ever been a time in America where old traditional values need to be re-emphasized, and old traditional values are only going to come from those of us who understand old traditional values? So we have to establish a testimony in our children, appoint a law into our nation, and command our fathers that they'd make it known to their children, that the generation to come would know them, even the children be born, they would know it, and they'd rise and they'd declare to their children that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the children of Ephraim, the children of 2024, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They didn't keep the covenant of God, refused to walk in his law, forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the seas, caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. And in the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams out of rocks, caused waters to run down like rivers. They sinned yet more against him, provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yeah, they spoke against God. They said, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. No, can God finish? But he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was totally and completely ticked. And the fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. And though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, he had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat, were filled, for he gave them their own desire. And they were not restrained from their lusts. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and he slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore, in their days did he consume in vanity, in their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and then they returned and required about after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. And nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their sins, destroyed them not, yet many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away, cometh not again. How oft did they provoke God in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And they remembered not his hand the day when he delivered them from the enemy, and how he had wrought his sins in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. And he sent divers swords of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. And he gave also their incense into the caterpillar and his labor into the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. And he gave up their cattle as to the hail and the flocks to hot thunderbolts, and he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger and his wrath and his indignation by and trouble by sending evil angels among them. And he made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of the strength in the tabernacles of Ham. But made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. And he cast out the heathen before them and divided them an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back, dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved to jealousy with their graven images. And when God heard this, he was ticked off and he greatly abhorred Israel. So that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. And he gave his people over also into the sword and was ticked off again with his inheritance. And the fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. And their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked out as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that's shadowed by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. He built a sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David as his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes great with young, he brought them to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel's inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. We've been here before, boys and girls. We've been here before. The generations to come. Look at the generations to come. We talk about generations a lot. 80 years. D-Day, 80 years coming up in 2 days. 80 years. So let me see. 80 years. That would be my granddad. That would be my dad. That would be me. That would be my children. And that would be my grandchildren. 5 generations in 80 years. And look where we have gone from my grandfather's generation to where we are today. And who's responsible for that? Same people we just read about. God's people are responsible for allowing all this to happen. God's people are going to do something about it again. Hey, listen, Bobby's got a big thing going on this weekend. I'm going to be down in Texas. Bobby, come in and talk about that here just a second. I'm going to get, listen, folks, please register. Look, I'm going to say that. I'm going to get you in here too. Hey, folks, listen, the economy's hitting everybody, man. We had a horrendous month at Pass the Salt. If everybody just gave $10, just please, it's the first of the month. Just go online. Spencer, pull it up there. Show them how to go online. All the people out there watching on the Patriot Party News, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. If you just gave us $10 a month, just 10 a month, just go on there and throw in $10 today. Would you do that for us? Just $10. Keep us going. Amen. Where would you be without this? Where would we all be without this? I don't want you giving me thousands. I don't want you giving me, just 10 a month. Just give us 10 bucks a month. All right. Okay. Hang on. Coach Dave Live, donate. There's how you can do it. Do it online today. I got 2 things I want to talk about here. I got a lot I want to get into. I'm looking at my calendar over here. But Bobby's got a big thing going on, and Jeff Klein's got something going on. And I want to talk about both of those. So go, Bobby.
Yeah, all right. So this weekend, Saturday in Richmond, go to Coach Dave Live's event page, and you will see it posted there, June 8th, Saturday, where to go. It's at a restaurant there. We got Dr. Frank speaking about election fraud. It's scientifically broken down county by county across the nation how it was stolen. It's remarkable. Listen, if you're driving this, you need to do that. Need to be there. And for those of you that
Bobby. They could bring a friend, couldn't they? Couldn't they bring a friend? Bring a friend and show somebody. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we are probably in the most serious time in American history. I don't know if we're going to be living in the country by the end of the summer, let alone come November, right?
There ain't going to be no election, folks.
If you ever wanted to know what you would have done in certain serious times in past history, now you know, right? If you still think that you're going into Walmart and buying your stuff just because you can spend a few dollars here and there, that things are not literally about to drop on your head, you need to be at this event, right? So that's June 8th. We got at the end of the month at Cabela's in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Dr. Frank's going to be out here speaking. It's going to be a great event just because of the venue, right? And it's a bigger venue. And there is a hotel there. Well, there's hotels in Richmond, too. But we're going to gather at a hotel in Hamburg the night before, and it's going to be a much more joyous and enjoyable event. Not that the Saturday's not, but, again, the environment. It's the biggest Cabela's in the nation, right? So it's going to be a good time. You need to come to both of the events. Bring people. Don't bring one person. Get in the game and do what – now's the time, right? If you're not going to shine now in the times in which we live, you – this is what you would have done at any point in history. So check yourself.
Amen. Amen, Bobby. So it's Kentucky this weekend, Pennsylvania in a couple weeks. Jeff Klein's got something he wants to talk about. Go ahead, Jeff. Can we pull that? I don't think this is on our event page, but go ahead, Jeff.
Well, it's an old fashioned tent meeting. It doesn't say revival.
This is for Ohio folks. Yeah. It's for Ohio folks.
Anybody? We're in the Bladensburg area. We're out on
tomorrow.
Yep, 7 o'clock each night. We're out on an old gun club. Pastor Matt bought the property. It used to be a shooting range. There ain't a house in sight. That big old tent set up, seat about 250 people. So we'll do every evening through the week. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, church under that tent. And the sun's coming up. It's a beautiful place to have it. But the pastor's coming in from down in Alabama. He's down around Clay's area. Old Pastor Tim. And this boy can preach it. And the focus is going to be basically, it's time for the Christians to take back our nation. We've got to open our mouths. And this boy brings it. It's good. And we do a lot of the old hymns. It's just, it's a great time. So that's where we'll be this week. Anybody that wants to swing by.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for that one. I'm looking at my chart. I don't want to forget anything. Hey, listen. Oh, yeah. The Sky High event. June 21, 22, 23. Come on, man. Folks, come on. This is a big, great huddle. Be a great huddle. We need you to register so we make sure that we're able to, you know, have all the supplies we need, all the food, all that kind of stuff. The annual huddle coming up here in, golly, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, June, scroll down a little bit there. They can't see when it is. And there are the tickets there, June 21, 22, 23. And look, you could do this. If you can't come, you could buy somebody else a ticket. You could buy somebody else a ticket because I have people who, you know, money's tough, right? Hotels, all that stuff there. Sheila's going to present Flip Benham. If you have never heard Flip Benham, daggone, folks. And Tom Renz, that's three pretty good boys. And it'll be a lot of fun time and a lot of getting to know each other and a lot of hanging out time. Some boat rides, different things like that. We'd love for you to be able to be part of it. Cool. Anybody have anything for the good of the group that I've forgotten out there on the calendar?
And king cake.
What's that? You're bringing a king cake?
I'm bringing the king cake, baby.
Oh, dude, that'll be it. That'll be. I'm gonna win that king, man. Huh? I'm gonna win that king. Hey, folks, listen. I'm gonna say it again. I don't harp on it much. $10 a month, please. $10 a month. I'm just telling you. You don't know some of the needs. I don't come on here and say we sent money here. And we say I don't do that. I don't do that. But we're helping a lot of people. All right. $10 a month. Come on, man. Huh? $10 a month. How many shows do we do a day? How many shows we do a day or a week? We do 5 a week. We do 20. I'm asking 50 cents. I'll quit talking about it. Okay. I want to move on to something here. Great. By the way, great meme up there. Great. Our guys there down there, Jared's team put this together. I think it's basically Spencer that did it. maybe put that in the chat so that they can send this around to their friends. Bring your friends with you, man. Bring your friends to this event. Open their eyes to exactly what's going on. Because you know what's really happening? There's an awakening going on. And they're starting to find out, you know, you're not as crazy as you thought. They're starting to find out more and more, you know? So the more they can get around other people and realize that they've been missing it, that you, hey, friends, are you watching at all what's going on? Everything Fauci, it's all being exposed. It's all being exposed. All that COVID stuff, all fake, all phony. It's all being exposed. How do you know? Oh, I'm going to show you how. Okay, now hang on. Pull up number one. Time out a minute before I pull it up. Marjorie Taylor Greene. You guys know who she is? I love this girl's spunk. I love her spunk. But I want to give you a warning. Are y'all looking at me? She uses the F word. Now, if your ears are so pure that you can't hear the F word, now you're okay with transgenderism being taught to your neighbor's kid. You're okay with that. And you're okay with pick whatever, the government lying and stealing, conniving. You're okay with that, but your ears can't hear the F word. I'm sorry. And somebody said to last week when we were talking about this, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Folks, certainly we're supposed to watch our tongue, but gossip is corrupt communication. Not being honest is corrupt communication. Are you guys as worried about that as you are somebody saying shit or damn or poop? Are you just worried about that? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Quit talking about people behind their back. That's worse than the F word, folks. That's worse. Huh? Oh, what is, hey, Seth Spencer, seven things the Lord hates. Seven things the Lord hates. Pull it up. It's in Proverbs. And I want to see if the F word's in there. I want to see if language is in there. Seven things the Lord hates. What are they? I know. And I listen, we step on all the sacred cows here. Six things he hates. What? Proud look. You ever had that one? Lying tongue. You ever had that one? Hands that shed innocent blood. You ever had that one? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Ever had that one? Feet that be swift to run to mischief. Ever had that one? A false witness that speaks lies. Ever had that one? And he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Ever have that one? Anybody see cussing? Does anybody see cursing in there anywhere? It's major on the majors, all right? Certainly, bad language ruins your witness. Certainly it does to pious people. But I heard Marjorie Taylor Greene say this, and I said, yeah, yeah. Go ahead and play Marjorie Taylor Greene.
In that room? No, absolutely not. I mean, everything I said is correct. It's how the American people feel. It's what we know to be a fact. It's all the evidence has been proven true. We have Jamie Raskin in there accusing us of worshiping Trump. Worshiping as a convicted felon.
Well,
so is George Floyd and everybody, and you all too. The media worship George Floyd. Democrats worship George Floyd. There were riots burning down the fucking country over George Floyd, and Raskin is in there saying we worship him. Excuse me, let me correct you, and this is really important. I don't worship, I worship God. God and Jesus is my savior. I don't worship President Trump. And I'm really sick and tired of the bullshit annex I have to deal with constantly from the Democrats. So that's what we just went through in there. And then they're sitting there. They can attack my character all day long. What's his face in there? Whoever was talking last was calling me insane. But yet we can't say, oh, they're attacking my character. Oh, no, it's nonstop BS and annex. You want to know why? The Democrats don't have anything. They're responsible for the lockdowns, forced vaccinations, kids being forced to stay home, people committing suicide, and all the horrors that this country lived through during COVID. Fauci belongs in prison. He should be tried for mass murder, and he should be tried for crimes against humanity. That's how I feel after that hearing. That's how the American people feel.
Amen.
Boom!
Boom!
But I'm not going to listen to it because, oh, she swore. Oh, she swore. Remember? Remember I said last week? It's the language of the culture, folks. That's the language of the culture. And you say, well, coach, we can't adapt to the culture. When you're speaking to the culture, you have to speak their language. Paul said, I become all things to all people. Now, hang on a minute, because I hear those religious spirits out there say, Coach Dave is endorsing swearing. If that's what you hear, I don't even know what to say. I'd rather take on the bigger giants of the world than worrying about whether Marjorie Taylor Greene dropped an F-bomb. Oh, I can't listen to him. He has such harsh language. They're cutting off the penises of little children, folks. Yeah, Bobby, you can say something. Go ahead.
MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene. MTG is the only one that knows how to fight. She's the only one knows that there's a fight taking place in the arena. It's, fighting is ugly. Anybody that knows, has any concept of fighting, knows that it's ugly, it's nasty, and if you think that it's clean like a Bruce Lee movie, you have no idea what you're talking about. Regardless of what she says, how she does it, at least she's punching. I don't care if it's sloppy. And I want to wait just 10 more seconds. And I don't even care that it looks, from if it perceived as sloppy. She's bringing it to them, pushing them back. One woman. Can you imagine if it was at least a few, let alone 20?
Hey, Spencer, look up Pious. Look up Pious, P-I-O-U-S. Be right with you, Alan. Hang on. Pious. What is pious? Godly. Referencing and honoring the supreme being, dictated by reverence to God, having due respect and affection for parents or relatives, practiced under the pretense of religion as pious frauds. So people, Jesus said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Right? Folks, let's make our words and our actions effective. Let's make them effective, effectual. Alan, come on in.
Coach, the thing that's sick about this whole deal, she's the only one in Congress that wears a jock strap, brother.
Isn't that something, Alan? Huh? The only one. There may be one or two others, but there aren't many. And you know what? Her team hates her. The Republicans hate her. They'll do everything they can to get her out. Because why? She's upsetting the apple cart. And they want to be pious, see? They want to give, now speak to my friend across the aisle. My friend across, what? That's our enemy. That dude sitting across the aisle is your enemy. Quit being so pious. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, we've lost track of the idea that our government is intentionally designed to be an adversarial form of government. It's supposed to be hard to pass laws. It's supposed to be hard to impact the people. It's supposed to be difficult. It's got to be work. Not, well, we got to make it smooth and we need to... No, it's adversarial. Good for her.
It is adversarial. And I'm going to tell you something. When I'm in the fray, I speak language in the fray. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to say that when I'm with harsh men, I speak harsh language. Is that a sin? When as Romans, Paul said, be all things to all people. It makes me real to people. It makes me real to them. I'll get on with it. This piety that I see in American Christianity just makes me gag. Woody Hayes said, I never saw a football player make a tackle with a smile on his face. I agree with it. All right, pull up. Where is it? 2 minutes, number five. 25 ways America's being destroyed. Look, stop, Speckett. Pull it up, Spencer. Will we engage in the war or not? Will the church engage in this spiritual war that's manifesting itself in the natural? Because I'm here to tell you something. As Bobby just said, or somebody just said, we are in, I believe, for a summer of hell. Do you understand what they just did with Donald Trump? And you think it's not going to hit you? Do you think these people... They are accusing President Trump of getting into office and then revenge, which I hope he does, by the way. And do you think they don't know what's coming? Do you think they're going to let that guy get back in office? Do you understand? Do you understand where we are, friends? and we want to play nicey, nicey, nicey. Kevin.
I don't think it'll be a revenge. I think it'll be justice served.
Justice, baby. Justice. I want justice. But to them, it'll be revenge. Huh? All of a sudden, they'll want to use the golden rule. They'll want to be a do unto others. All of a sudden, when it's them that are getting locked up, right? Oh, yeah. Do unto the others. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's all theater. I agree with you. Play this. 25 ways. This is 2 minutes. You know this. How about sharing this with some people that you influence? They may not like you afterwards. Huh? They may not like that. See, I told my wife, bear with me, stream of consciousness there. My wife said to me last night, just the last words we had before we went to sleep, actually. I said, honey, they can't understand. And she said, what? I said, they cannot understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he. That's 1 Corinthians 2:18, I think, see, Spencer, the natural man. Folks, this is what we're dealing with. This is what you're dealing with. Look, listen to me. You're dealing with this with people in your church and in your family. They are not born again of the Spirit of God. They are not born again. And the Bible says the natural man cannot receive the Spirit of, huh? Oh, man, keep going up here. It's 18, I think. Is that what it was, Michelle? 1 Corinthians 18. One more. Go on. But the natural man, the unregenerated, born-again man that you go to church with, who sits on the pew and don't do crap, cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He is a form of godliness, but he denies the power thereof. And the Bible says, from such men, turn away. Why? For the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But Coach Dave judges all things. Why does Coach Dave judge all things? Because I'm spiritual. I'm a spirit man. Are you guys out there spirit folk? Kevin Van Stroy, you a spirit man? You a spirit man? Well, if you're a spirit man, you judges all things, and the culture tells you not to judge, and the church tells you not to judge. Why? Because they're not spiritual men.
Boom.
But they'll judge bad language. Oh, they don't have a problem with that. The weightier matters of the law they ignore. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. All right, 25 ways America's being destroyed with the approval of the church. Go ahead.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1, open borders and illegal immigration. 2, rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3, mass addiction and fentanyl. 4, election insecurity and interference. 5, the educational indoctrination of children. 6, the asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7, the destruction of private property rights. 8, inflation and debt. 9, the global depopulation agenda. 10, record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11, unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12, toxic food supply. 13, vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14, the trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15, overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16, destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17, DEI and the new racism. 18, moral and societal decay. 19, the financing of endless foreign wars. 20, the sprawling surveillance state. 21, the centralization and consolidation of government power. 22, the destruction of trust in institutions. 23, the censorship industrial complex. 24, state media propaganda. 25, the smearing of those who challenge it.
History promises only this for certain: we will get exactly what we deserve. That's a boom. Put that in the chat. Share it with your friends. Hey, folks, no more nicey-nicey. No more nicey-nicey. We are to the point where you're going to have to draw a line between friends and non-friends. I'm just sorry. If they can't take the truth, then they're not going to be any good to you in what's about to come. All right. Now, one more thing, and I'm going to open it up, let you jump in here. Dr. Martin, bring out a number six. Bring up number six. Are you ready for this, folks? This is the most important video you will watch this year. It's mind-blowing. This is Dr. I want to say Walter Martin, but it's not his right name. And he's going to show you all right now how wicked the entire COVID thing was. Go ahead.
David Martin.
Most of you don't know that coronavirus as a model of a pathogen was isolated in 1965. Coronavirus was identified in 1965 as one of the first infectious replicatable viral models that could be used to modify a series of other experiences of the human condition. It was isolated once upon a time associated with the common cold. But what's particularly interesting about its isolation in 1965 was that it was immediately identified as a pathogen that could be used and modified for a whole host of reasons. And you heard me correctly. That was 1965. And by the way, these slides are public domain. You're welcome to look at every single reference. Every comment that I made is based on published material. So do make sure that you look at those references. But in 1966, the very first COV coronavirus model was used as a transatlantic biological experiment in human manipulation. And you heard the date, 1966. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm saying. This is not an overnight thing. This is actually something that's been long in the making. A year before I was born, we had the first transatlantic coronavirus data sharing experiment between the United States and the United Kingdom. And in 1967, the year I was born, we did the first human trials on inoculating people with modified coronavirus. Isn't that amazing? 56 years ago, the overnight success of a pathogen that's been 56 years in engineering. And I want that to chill with all of you. Where were we when we actually allowed, in violation of biological and chemical weapons treaties, where were we as a human civilization when we thought it was an acceptable thing to do to take a pathogen for the United States and infect the world with it? Where was that conversation? And what should have been that conversation in 1967? That conversation wasn't had. Ironically, the common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals, pigs and dogs. And not surprisingly, by the time we got to 1990, we found out that coronavirus as an infectious agent was an industrial problem for two primary industries, the industries of dogs and pigs. Dog breeders and pigs found that coronavirus created gastrointestinal problems, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990. Did you hear what I just said? 1990. Operation Warp Speed? I'm sorry. Where's the warp and the speed? Pfizer, 1990, the very first spike protein vaccine for coronavirus. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't it fascinating that we were told that, well, the spike protein is a new thing. We just found out that that's the problem. No. As a matter of fact, we didn't just find out it was not just now the problem. We found that out in 1990 and filed the first patents on vaccines in 1990 for the spike protein of coronavirus. And who would have thought? Pfizer. Clearly the innocent organization that does nothing but promote human health. Clearly Pfizer. The organization that has not bought the votes in this chamber and in every chamber of every government around the world. Not that Pfizer. Certainly, they wouldn't have had anything to do with this. But, oh, yes, they did. And in 1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines. They didn't work. You know why they didn't work? It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse because it modifies and mutates too quickly for vaccines to be effective. And since 1990 to 2018, that is the published science, ladies and gentlemen. That's following the science. Following the science is their own indictment of their own programs that said it doesn't work. And there are thousands of publications to that effect, not a few hundred, and not paid for by pharmaceutical companies. These are publications that are independent scientific research that shows unequivocally, including efforts of the chimera modifications made by Ralph Baric and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. All of them show vaccines do not work on coronavirus. That's the science. And that science has never been disputed. But then we had an interesting development in 2002. And this date is most important. Because in 2002, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, patented, and I quote, an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. Listen to those words, infectious replication defective. What does that phrase actually mean? For those of you not familiar with language, let me unpack it for you. Infectious replication defective means a weapon. It means something meant to target an individual, but not have collateral damage to other individuals. That's what infectious replication defective means. And that patent was filed in 2002 on work funded by NIAID's Anthony Fauci from 1999 to 2002. And that work, patented at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, mysteriously preceded SARS 1.0 by a year. Dave, are you suggesting that SARS 1.0 wasn't from a wet market in Wuhan? Are you suggesting it might have come from a laboratory in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill? No, I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you that's the facts. We engineered SARS. SARS is not a naturally occurring phenomenon. The naturally occurring phenomenon is called the common cold. It's called influenza-like illness. It's called gastroenteritis. That's the naturally occurring coronavirus. SARS is the research developed by humans weaponizing a life system model to actually attack human beings. And they patented it in 2002.
Okay, you can stop, Spencer. It goes on. Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. Huh? Folks, look. Look, there's a devil loose. Do you understand this? You understand that the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I don't care what it is, medical, economic, food, they create the problem and create the solution. Why? Mm-hmm. Because there is money in the solution. Do you understand it, folks? You understand this is what government does? Government creates problems and then applies the solution. Government creates war in the Middle East and then sends all of our money over there. Do you get it? So until you can pull back and you can understand that this is a spiritual war that we're fighting, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, and that the devil and his minions are invested and embedded in every aspect of everything that's going on, until you understand that, you're not going to get what you're not going to get. It.
Amen.
You're not going to get it. If you don't understand that for every counterbalance, good and evil, for every counterbalance, for every evil, good will conquer it. Now, who is the purveyor of good in the American culture? Well, it would seem to me that that would be the church, Christianity, Christ. Christ would be the antidote to evil and to lies. Does anybody disagree with that?
Amen.
Huh? And so, therefore, the antidote to all this government monkey business is Christian churches. And are Christian churches engaged and involved? Your pastor won't even talk about it. That's where the battle is raging. Right there, folks. That's where it is. And I'm sorry if I sound like the same record over and over and over and over and over again. But until we get what's going on, good and evil, good and evil, and every aspect of your life, those two choices are before you. And until we recognize and begin to call it out, until we get to the point where we are, pardon my language, pissing off some of our friends. Some of you aren't saying the truth because you're worried about losing your friends. You value your friendship more than the truth. That was Psalm 78, by the way, which we read earlier today. Psalm 78. We're supposed to teach it to our children, who will teach it to their children. And how many of you today are teaching your children that homosexuality is wrong? It's wrong. No, the church is teaching to tolerate it and love it. And so the poisoning has entered into the church. Talk about being invaded. You talk about an inoculation. We've been inoculated. We've been inoculated with lies. And the only thing that will counter lies is truth. And we're told we're not supposed to talk about it. Come on in, Susie.
We're going to love them straight into hell.
We're going to love them straight into hell. Hey, Susie, I'm cold-hearted, I guess. I don't mind loving them straight into hell. I'm worried about those they're dragging in there with them. That's the way that I see it. Come on in, Roger.
Well, I want to be a little gentler on the church than you are on this topic. Just a little gentler.
Yeah, I bet you will.
We hear about man and woman marriage, but we only hear it on Sunday morning in the safe zone called the pulpit. Where I worship, there was a pretty good sermon on man and woman and marriage and all that on Sunday behind the pulpit in the safe zone. It's never taken out into the street in any orchestrated or offensive manner. It's always presented in safe zones. That's my humble opinion.
Why do you think that is, Rod?
Because it's a safe zone.
Roger, when you go to church, Roger, does your pastor ever speak against sexual sins?
He does. But it's never... It's like the whole university thing that popped up a year ago where the little kiddies needed a safe zone because they were all worked up about something. So the campuses gave them a safe zone to go to. The pulpit, the Sunday morning, anybody can be righteous there. Anybody can be tough sounding there. That's an easy arena.
That's right, brother. That's right.
And that's why you hear it there in many churches probably, because it's a safe zone. It's the church safe zone.
And so the challenge is to take that truth, see, in my opinion, I go to church to be challenged. I don't go to church to be encouraged. The Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. I think churches ought to be huddles where we get together and we make a plan on what we're going to collectively do this week. And so here's what we're all going to do, folks. We're going to do this. And hey, I'll see you next Sunday. And we'll do a breakdown of what we did and where we were successful and where we weren't successful. Folks, that's not what church is. Comes in and they preach to you and make you feel better.
You know, Dave, that video you showed dealing with Big Pharma, that should be shown in every church.
In every church, Roger.
Every church it should be shown in.
Why would it not be? Why would it not be? Well, some of them don't know, but ignorance is no excuse, right? So if somebody were to come to me this let me call myself Pastor Dave here a minute, which like people like to do. When I get up in the morning and I prepare a show, I'm going to tell you something. The last thing on my mind is making you guys feel good. That's the last thing on my mind. I'm trying to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm just trying to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work. So can somebody find that for me? Isn't that somewhere in the scripture? To train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry? Isn't that what it is? Or is church supposed to be self-help, encouragement zones? Is that what it's supposed to be? And because somehow along the way, we got into that mess of it just being encouraging zones. There it is. Equipping the saints. Thank you. I'm going to send you a $10 tip. Ephesians. And he gave the apostles. He gave the prophets. He gave the evangelists. By the way, these are positions on the team. These are positions on the team. In every team, there should be an apostle. There should be, hey friends, it ain't Apostle William and Apostle Joe and Prophet Sarah. And stop it. Stop it. It's positions you play. And he gave some the position of the apostle, and he gave another the position of a prophet, and he gave another one an evangelist, and he gave some of them pastors, and he gave some of them teachers. By the way, did you notice pastors and teachers? No comma, no comma, no comma. Evangelists, apostles, comma, colon, prophets, colon, some evangelists, colon, and some pastors and teachers. No, hey, no comma. Pastors supposed to be teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Equip the saints. Train and equip the saints. That ain't being done. Sorry. Oh, it may be done on how to have a happy life. Yeah, they're probably training you pretty good on how that one. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. On how to love the deviant. Yeah, they're probably doing a pretty good job on that. It's to me, for the most part, I'm a pretty happy guy, but I can't believe our team. Somebody come on in. I got some other stuff. I've said enough. I want to hear from you. Come on in. Quit looking at me. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, keep going.
Thanks, Chad. Chad's always egging me on, right? So point being what? Who, folks, is going to oppose evil? Now you can go through, hey, just on a lark, okay, Spencer? Look up heroes in the Bible. I'm just doing this on a lark. I love the internet because you can find all kinds of stuff. Heroes in the Bible. Who are they? Click on Bible heroes. Who are they? Wow. Bible heroes. John, Esther, Samson, Ruth, Noah, Joseph, Adam and Eve, Jesus, Daniel, Moses, Mary Magdalene, David, Mary the guardian, Paul, Peter. Where is Joel? Where's Joel? Is he in there? Or T.D. Fakes, he in there? No, because heroes of the Bible are those who engaged evil. That's why they're heroes. They rose above their own comfort and went out and did what? To advance the kingdom of God for the safety and security of everybody else. David isn't famous for loving Goliath. He's famous for killing him. Gee, look at it. Wow. Look at those heroes. How about the Faith Hall of Fame? Go there. Hebrews 11 real quick. Hebrews 11, Spencer. Yeah, Hebrews 11. Huh? Let's see how many of these guys are touchy-feely. Through faith, we understand, blah, blah, blah. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. What was that sacrifice? His son. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, it was impossible. Please, before we come, God, keep going down. By faith, Noah being warned of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive as an heir, Abraham went. By faith, he sojourned in the promise. He looked for a city. Therefore, through faith, Sarah, through faith, go on. Boom. Through, keep going. Through, these all died. Where is it? I got ahead of you. These all died. Not receiving the promise. Go back up, Spence. No, go up to like 10 or 11.
Coach, it's right towards the end. Towards the end, bud.
Okay. Go on down. By faith, it passed through the Red Sea. Women, stay there. Okay, go. Spencer, it's not your fault. It's me. And others had cruel, right there, stay there. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Had cruel mockings and scourgings. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being a destitute, afflicted, and tormented. On and on and on, confronting evil, speaking the power, standing up and being counted. That is the Faith Hall of Fame. They were stoned. They were sown in half, slain with a sword. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, didn't receive the promise, boys and girls. Why didn't they receive the promise? Next verse, number 40. God, having provided something better thing for us, that they, without us, can't finish the race. They're waiting on us to do our part to advance the kingdom of God. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. We don't even know their names, huh? Of whom the world was not worthy. We don't even know who they were. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in caves and dens. We're after our best life now. Clay.
Well, after, you know, you told us this, Coach. After they said by faith, there's always an action. After it says by faith.
Faith without works. Faith without works is what? Dead. Right?
Amen. Amen.
So you can't say you have faith and not have an action to it, friends. You can't say you oppose homosexuality and not do anything about it. You can't say you oppose abortion and not do anything about it. Other than vote. Because voting obviously isn't working. Right? Trent.
Yeah, Coach, thank you. If Christians do not stand up and fight and engage now, we're no better than the woman that never has children, you know, and to raise a heritage after, you know, her own. We're killing the bloodline.
We are. Well, because why? We were told to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And we decided we would trade sex, the enjoyment of sex, for the reproduction of children. We made that decision. We came up with the birth control pill so that you could have sex without possibility of procreation. You talk about spitting in the face of God, folks. Can I tell you something? The church is behind that. In fact, you'll hear pastors say, well, we have to be careful about overpopulation. Muslims are having about 6 kids. We're having 1.5 or something like that. Randy.
Matthew 12, Jesus, he goes out and he heals a man, and then he casts out a demon out of him. And the religious world said, oh, you cast that out by the ruler of demons. You're doing it by Satan. You're Satan, basically, is what they're saying.
Yep.
But Jesus said, well, if I do that, if I cast out a demon by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Amen.
So, Coach, that's a good question every one of us should ask. If do we see any residue where we walk and where we leave? Are demons gone when we leave there? Have we done anything? Has the kingdom of God come to anybody? Or are we just floating along? It's a good test of your true Christianity. If you're leaving the residue of the kingdom of darkness behind you, you know the kingdom of God has come to them.
It's advancing. You're advancing the kingdom.
So, Coach, I put this out there to all the people. Do you have any fruit? If the demons aren't squealing when you show up, they manifested when Jesus showed up, didn't they, Coach?
They sure did.
So if nothing's manifesting, you're not leaving any change behind you. Are you, how strong a Christian are you? Are you really doing anything to take away, to push darkness out, to displace darkness? We are the light, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
We should see darkness affected everywhere we go.
Randy, boom, as Vinny would say. Boom. Are we? Are we seeing our darkness being expelled, or does it appear that darkness is expanding? Well, we know this from the days of John the Baptist until now. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. We got to go take it back. See you tomorrow.